This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. A very serious and persistent drought is engulfing the United States of America and many parts around the world. And in this program, I like to give you more of an impression as to how serious it is, what it may mean for you, how you can be protected, and also share with you some personal experiences I have experienced and encountered over the Labor Day weekend 2014. First, I'd like to quote to you from an article which was already published in July of 2014 by the NBC News, saying this: the scope of this mounting crisis is difficult to overstate. The high plains of Texas are swiftly running out of groundwater supplied by one of the world's largest aquifers, the Ogallala. The Ogallala aquifer spreads across 8 states from Texas to South Dakota, covering 111.8 million acres and 175,000 square miles. It's a fountain of life, not only for much of the Texas panhandle, but also for the entire American bread basket of the Great Plains. With the world population increasing and other critical global aquifers suffering equally dramatic declines, scientists acknowledge that if the American breadbasket cannot help supply ever-growing food demands, billions could starve. Billions could starve. The situation in Texas hasn't substantially improved. Here's an article by KSAT from September 2, 2014, saying that as of Monday, the capacity of Medina Lake was 4%. The Texas drought has nearly dried it up, a place that would normally be packed with boaters on Labor Day. And then here's a proclamation by Texas Governor Rick Perry from August 26, saying that large sections of the state are experiencing exceptional or extreme droughts. Today I'd like to concentrate more on the California drought, about which you have all heard, I guess. But have you also realized how serious it is and how serious it may become? Here's an article by USA Today, dated September 3, 2014, saying that California is in the third year of one of the state's worst droughts in the past century, one that's led to fierce wildfires, water shortages, restrictions, and potentially staggering agricultural losses. The dryness in California is only part of a longer-term 15-year drought across most of the western USA. When considering the West as a whole, we are currently in the midst of a historically relevant mega-drought, said Professor Park Williams. Now, mega-droughts, as the article explains, are extreme dry spells that can last for a decade or longer. And as of August 28, 100% of the state of California was considered to be in a drought, and more than 58% is in exceptional drought, the worst level. And because of the dryness, of course, California Governor Jerry Brown declared a statewide drought emergency this year. Since then, reservoir storage levels have continued to drop, and as of late August, they were down to about 59% of the historical average. About 1,000 more wildfires than usual have plagued the city, and the state, I should say, including some unusual ones in the spring. The drought is likely to inflict $2.2 billion in losses on the agricultural industry. The article goes on to say, this is serious stuff. Mega droughts are a threat to civilization, Professor Toby Ault said. They could possibly be even worse than anything experienced by any humans who have lived in that part of the world for the last few thousand years. Now, that doesn't sound too good. Before I go into the potential reasons and solutions of this terrible situation, I'd like to share with you, as I said, some personal experiences. Then, you know, sometimes personal impressions last longer. During the Labor Day weekend, friends, family, and I visited Monterey County in California. And we also went to the White Rock Lake, which is a pretty huge lake in the midst of a forest. And of course, it was a man-made lake, a recreational area. Now, before I continue, let's just listen to a few words by a person who has grown up in that part of the state.
This is White Rock Lake. I grew up here as a child many, many summers, having wonderful times and memories of swimming in this lake. But now today, in 2014, it's absolutely dry. You can walk across the whole lake bed and not even sink your feet past your shoelaces. So,
the White Rock Lake covers about 45 acres. It contains 1.5 million gallons of water. And when it's full, the deepest point is 17 feet. When it's full. Now, as we've just heard, it's not full. There's no water left. It's totally, and I mean totally, dried out. There's a tower there, which you normally cannot see because it is covered with water. And of course, now it's standing on dry ground. The wooden platforms would be floating on the water, and now they are on dry ground. All animal life, which was once in that lake, is dead. Of course, the lake was used in the past to fight fires. And of course, no water is available now from that lake to do it. It was quite an interesting sight and experience to see this. As I said, it's just one out of perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of examples we could give you. But that example shows how serious this drought in California is. And so the question which remains and which needs to be asked is why? I'm not only talking about the drought in California or even in Texas, but I'm talking about these kind of situations and conditions around the world. You see, there are other parts of the world which are plagued by hurricanes and heavy rain and tidal waves, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes. Why? But in this program, as I said, I like to concentrate on the drought. But if you want to know more about why we even have this kind of human suffering, please ask our free booklets, Human Suffering, Why and How Much Longer. And this will give you very strict and very strong and very convincing answers from the Bible. But I'd like to turn to the Bible now and read to you a scripture from the book of Haggai, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5. And listen very carefully what God said to the people then and what he is telling us now. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag of holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. And therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. And then verse 11, for I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. God says, consider your ways. What's your priorities? Do you really look for what is important in God's eyes? Or do you feel that you have to deal with situations which are not that important? And because your focus is on those, you are not going to be blessed. And God is going to bring a drought on the land, as he said, to wake us up. In the book of Leviticus, in the 26th chapter, God is warning ancient Israel, but he's also warning modern Israel today. And I'm not just talking about the state of Israel, because our free booklet on the fall and rise of Britain and America tells you who the descendants of the ancient house of Israel and Judah are today. And in this particular passage in Leviticus 26, he says, I will break the pride of your power. Why? Because he just said, you are not obeying me. You're not keeping my commandments. I will make your heavens like iron, and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. A prophecy he has made, a prophecy which he is going to fulfill. Now there's another one. I'd like to read this too in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28. Again, directed at the ancient and the modern houses of Israel and Judah, saying, your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. And when I looked at this lake and how everything was dried out, I was reminded of scriptures like these. It says here in verse 24, the Lord shall change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. These are warnings. If you read the entire chapters in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you also find that a connection is made to terrorist attacks, something which we have been hearing about quite a bit recently. Now, what about you and what about me? Is there no hope for us? Is God unjust? Is God not going to remember those who have followed him faithfully when the time of drought comes? Are they going to be unprotected? Are they persons who also have to be living in fear and anxiety, not knowing what the future will hold? No, God is not unjust. God will remember those who are with him, who are for him, those who are becoming true Christians, if you please, and he will protect them. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and in verse 8, this is what he says. Such a righteous person shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, which we are experiencing today in many parts of the country. But he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. No matter what the circumstances, the righteous person will continue doing what's right. And another one in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11 saying, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Prophecies God is giving you even in the light of nationwide droughts. Something we should always remember. But we shouldn't forget the fact that God is trying to wake up this nation. And if you belong to the people who need to be awakened, then here is your opportunity. The drought is here. It appears like it will stay for a long time, and it will get worse, and famine will be a consequence for many billions of people, as we have heard. God is there to help you if you want him on your side. I pray that you do. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.